Good morning. Today is Tuesday, March the 5th. Joining us this morning, noted CPA, Mr. McCauley.
Yeah, Cinco de Marcho.
Yeah. I've got, I didn't realize I've got two radio buddies whose birthdays were yesterday.
Really?
They both have, one of the things Mr. McCauley does is he's on the blood bank board. And that's why I'm going to share this one with you. They both are B positive.
Ah.
Blood type.
Mm-hmm.
So they both have signs in their businesses. B positive March 4th.
Okay.
Good. A little CPA humor in the morning. Never hurt anybody.
Well, yeah, that's a little humor.
I'd ask you how breakfast went, but I'm not sure you can remember that far back, huh?
Well, it's a busy season.
Tis the season, huh? All right, let's see if we can find our why do they say that for this morning.
It's always an open question.
We took care of Damocles' sword earlier. all right, here we go. Dead as a doornail. Why do we say something is as dead as a doornail?
So is the doornail something that the door was tied to?
No. The other one was dead as shot and herring, and I've never heard that one.
So. I haven't either.
Yeah, a doornail, I think, is where we're headed here.
Yeah.
The doornail is the plate or knob on which the hammer of a door knocker strikes. Since this nail is knocked on the head many times a day, it cannot be supposed to have much life left in it.
There you go.
Dead as a doornail.
It's kind of like I can relate to that doornail right now. On some level.
Well, there was delirium also.
Yeah.
Which is striking. Oh, boy. So how are the Fed numbers going for you with your tax efforts?
Well, it's an interesting season. There've been some disappointments for some people, and been an interesting filing season thus far, and by my reckoning, we're halfway through. I look at it as a 12-week season. That's kind of how I work it. And so we've got 6 weeks to go. And so it's been challenging. I think the IRS is challenged. I think unfortunately, I don't think the rollout of how this new tax law has come into play has been worked well in some cases. And so it's made it interesting. And of course, we've had, some taxpayers with a little more anxiety than they've had before because things have changed. And they're not sure how to adapt to that and how to be prepared for a meeting with us and how to respond to,
everybody goes do with it. Walking in the door and going, well, okay, how'd we do this year?
Well, I mean, yeah, certainly people do that, but there are some people who are much more focused on,
more risk.
Well, there are people that bring in their stuff and it's like, yeah, here it is. And then there's other people who, they're trying to make sure you get every little piece of information and get you that, make sure you understand every document. And that's good too.
That's, I would suppose, part of the payback, so to speak, is how much time is worth how much time to squeeze how much last little, if it's...
We have to be pragmatic sometimes. We'll look at a return and I'll think, okay, well, that there's $44 here that needs to get, that should be, client's got this other $44 deduction, but because it's come through weird or it's been reported funny, you start saying, well, how much of my time can I spend to get this $44 deduction, which might mean $6 of tax or whatever, depending on what their
tax rate
is.
It would take 2 hours to get it.
Yeah. They're not going to be very happy if I double my bill, get them to save $20 or whatever the case might be. So, we do have to be a little pragmatic. On the other hand, we're signing the return that based upon, that it is correct to the best of our knowledge. And so we have to be careful about that and understand that, it needs to be materially correct. And if there's something like that, we got to be careful about it.
Kind of runs against the grain a little bit, I would suspect. I mean, the personality and the professionalism. But I would suggest for most of us, It's like, okay, so if we pay a little bit more than what we ought to, okay, fine. It's not worth chasing down that last little bit because, you know, reality said, you know, you got 48 stacks of others' returns, and, you know, for you to spend any more, for me to save $5, you know.
Yeah, we try to let our clients make that decision, you know, saying, okay, you know, I'm missing this, this, and this. Do you want to go look for it? You know, well, what kind of impact is that going to have on my return? Probably not much. I think we'll just go with what we have. You know,
do you, as a preparer, feel comfortable without that information going, you know, yeah, it's as accurate as we know, but we know it's not 100%. How do you make that call?
I mean, ultimately, I feel like I can sign the return under penalty of perjury that I believe it's correct. If there's a little difference here or there, I generally can live with that. We're missing the DMV fee for one of the four vehicles. So we picked up three of them. We know there's another one. Sometimes I'll say, hey, look, I know last year it was $65 that was the deductible amount. So I'll estimate 60 and move on. And I'll make a note that I've estimated it. But, you know, one thing you have to be doing.
So that's in the client file.
Yeah.
For easy reference, rather than having them chase it down or go to the DMV for another copy.
Right.
They don't hold things up for 4 weeks because of that.
Yeah, that's not particularly effective for anybody. So we try to be pragmatic when we can. But you know, I mean, you can't say, well, I don't know if I got a $200,000 or $300,000 in my business this year. Well, that's one most people would pay attention to. I'm going to struggle with.
Oh, yeah. That one I think we understand.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
We know you love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. By the way, the bongos return tomorrow.
I've been kind of in a weird funk this morning.
I know, me too.
No
me
bongos.
Too. The last week, it's like, well, okay, maybe we don't have to update it
every
35 years.
Did they go on vacation?
It was kind of in preparation for starting the 37th year. Thought, well, you know. Maybe not.
37
years. Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, Carson didn't change his.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't need to much. You know? So, anyway. Yeah. With some of the trends that you're seeing with the federal, you said some people are not as tickled as they were last year?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anybody who's more tickled this year?
Yes.
Okay, so there is a counterbalance.
Oh, absolutely. And it's an interesting dynamic this year. Let's kind of take some different scenarios. One of them is, let's take a married couple, both make $60,000 in wages. If they did not, keep in mind when the Tax Act was passed in December of 2017. In February of 2018, the IRS revised the withholding tables to have people keep more of their income, and therefore the withholding went down on people's wages or potentially their retirement distribution. So that is a backdrop. Understand that the withholding tables were adjusted with the idea that people's tax liability was going to come down, and accordingly it was good to get the money to people rather than let them wait to the end of the year to get it. Problem is, implementation You know, the tax tables have always been a little problematic. And they're the kind of thing people tend to solve over a couple of years. They find out, oh, wait a minute, you know, our withholding isn't right. We need to adjust it, and we start tweaking. And we typically see a lot of that where we have two wage earners in a family. Just the withholding tables tend not to work very well when there are two wage earners in a family. And particularly
because
it's
not A plus B equals C, it's
right.
A's
on his schedule,
plus
B's
A
on,
minus, and then yeah. we add together and have B.
Yeah, okay. And so it's yes, and so it tends to work really well. Let's say you have, or they tend to work better, where you have one high earner and one very low earner or lowish earner on the wage scale. That tends to work pretty well, but where they're more toward equal in terms of the income that they've got subject to withholding, the tables don't tend to work too well. So then we had tables that didn't work too well to begin with, and then we adjusted them. And so the people that we're seeing, at least from my perspective, the ones I'm seeing that have some of the biggest impacts negatively are people who have, are in that kind of a situation where they both make a nice living
more even. Yeah.
They are coming up short of what they really need for withholding. So what's happened is if they adjusted their withholding before to kind of get them in the right spot, now what's happened is they've gotten some tax relief, but it's not been as much as the withholding went down. So if you follow me, if my tax goes down $1,000, great, I pay $1,000 less tax, but my withholding goes down $2,000. That means if I got a refund last year of $1,000, then I'm going to get zero this year because I got the money already. And so the challenge, and what we're seeing is there's some pretty decent sized swings in withholding. And as a result, some people who had refunds last year are actually paying some tax, even though when you look at their tax return, they're actually paying less tax. It's just that they got it up front in the form of a reduced withholding payment during 2018.
I suppose that's a reflection of so many folks not looking at the taxes that they pay during the year. They just look at the net. You know, that old argument, if you really want tax reform,
mm-hmm.
make people pay with each paycheck, cut
right
a check
on.
To the state and to the feds, and suddenly we have tax reform.
Yeah,
I think it kind of sounds like it might be in that element also.
I think my experience is somebody starts a new job or somebody gets a raise at the job they're in, they look at the next paycheck. And they look and if you talk to them about it, they go, wow, I can't believe all the taxes being withheld from my check. And then the next check, they don't look at it and they've stopped thinking about it. And you know, and I think it's maybe because we don't really want to think about it. Now, in my case.
Or it doesn't change today's reality.
Right.
Can't do a heck of a lot
about
it.
Can't do much about it.
So let's not worry about it.
Yeah. And there's not enough people who are doing that simultaneously to cause some kind of a movement towards a change.
Or better yet, that happens to you, and you come to me, and I'm in the same boat. My sympathies are going to be a little less than what you're hoping for.
Yeah.
Oh, gee. You're only, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the point being that, yeah, I mean, I pay my taxes quarterly. So I know when I'm paying taxes, I know what it is. And so the point is, if we all did that, I really think we would be less tolerant of stupid spending. Not to say that everything we spend money on is stupid, but we have to admit there's a little bit of stupid spending.
Oh, there's 10% squeeze.
Yeah, in what we're doing, how much money do we spend on a bullet train that's now only going to run between Bakersfield and Fresno? Which is really cool because
Than Visalia to Turlock, right?
I don't ever make that trip, but if I do, I'm gonna get on the bullet train.
Just.
So.
And then rent a car at the other end?
I don't know. Maybe take it back.
Or come back. Yeah. I know. That's like Bart for me. Well, let's just kind of go out and turn around and come back and, you know, enjoy the view.
Bart can be really handy. I've done that where I've flown into Oakland and then taken Bart into downtown San Francisco.
With a Bart station out to the airport.
Pretty slick.
Yeah. Now, how do you fly into Oakland? KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
Thank you. Decade of Difference presents the High School Innovate Business Challenge.
I'm Genevieve Regley, encouraging you to go for it and submit an idea. I didn't know if my idea would be selected, but it was, and I learned a lot about my idea and myself. It was a great experience and helped kickstart my business while still attending Ferndale High School.
Learn more at decadeofdifference.org. Deadline to enter is February 15th. Upload your idea and compete for thousands of dollars. It's the Decade of Difference. Be a part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 836. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Redeck. Billy, looking at these trends, so you've got some that are having to pay that haven't in the past. Okay. You've got some that are getting a little bit more of a kick than what they did in the past. Mm-hmm. Okay. What about the general read that you're seeing on the local economy? As I... You know, it may not be in one return or another, but cumulatively over a lot of the returns, you're seeing some trends because you're probably dealing with a fair percent that are owner-operator as well as employee-based. Are the tea leaves saying anything to you yet, or have you had a chance to even step back?
Well, I think it was a more challenging year. I mean, most small business owners I speak to indicated that 2018 was a more challenging year. They found that the cash economy was less robust in the county, and that impacted wholesalers, distributors. It impacts retail folks, and it has an impact on the attenuant service businesses like radio or
yeah,
whatever.
The entire, I mean, you know, the I mean, business
I,
chain.
You know, I
it's
think
all
you
there,
start
yeah.
look there and you say that, one of the things in our case, you know, we're kind of a necessary evil. So, even if things go down, people might look to try to have us do fewer things to try to save a few bucks. But the fact is most in terms of some professions and some businesses, there may not be immediately feeling it, but I think that if you aren't feeling it right now, there're gonna be impacts because I think that the anecdotally restaurants have in general, some of them have struggled with changes in the cash economy. So it's interesting, and what anecdotally, and I don't have a particular reason to have any input on this, but anecdotally, we hear auto sales are down a bit, and so there's these other things that are going on that have and that ultimately will have an impact on the local governments because you start looking and saying, hey, if sales tax revenues are down, then that makes it more difficult to fund local programs and local government. And so, I think, we probably are not at the end of the curve on
the reset.
On the reset, yeah. So I think I fully acknowledge, I don't know, but I suspect we're not done.
With the changes going on at the federal level, one of the things that you've reinforced over the last months is that California hasn't, continues to have, hasn't, have locked their knees, ain't gonna. So with the changes at the federal and the changes local, how is that impacting state tax returns?
Well, it is. The state of California, if you do a tax return, that you're getting to the forms are different because a lot of people don't itemize for federal, so California had to beef up their California Form CA to allow people to kind of who don't have federal itemized deductions to have a form that accounts for the differences, and so they got basically a page and a half to help people do that. But yeah, there's no question that California's continued unwillingness to conform to federal tax law changes, and this is not new. This is not just the 2017 Act. This has been ongoing. They've tended to conform in some cases if it's been revenue enhancing. Most cases, if it has not been revenue enhancing, they do not conform.
Even simplification? If it's revenue neutral, they won't?
Well, at this point, they haven't conformed really to any portions of the 2017 Tax Act for the most part. Some of them statutorily they have to conform because they say we follow federal in this area. But for the most part, you know, where there's a California statute, there's been no change. Now, we also hear there's conversation going on. California started having conformity meetings in the fall of 2018. And so, yes, the fall of 2018. And so we are hearing that there are some issues that they may well conform to. And we're waiting to kind of see. Some of them result in certain businesses needing to keep two sets of books because you'd have a different set of method of accounting for federal purposes than you would for California purposes. So,
and that's going to be statutory?
It's based on the law in California, federal law in California hasn't conformed. And so
What niches are required?
Yeah, cash basis of accounting is one example. So the used to be that if you're cash basis business and you're up to $5 million, you could remain on the cash basis. Once your average trailing income was over $5 million over a three-year trailing look back, you then had to switch to accrual. California still has that rule. Federal changed and lifted the $5 million to $25 million, which was because the $5 million had been forever. It had been in the law for a long time. And so, you know, but California hasn't conformed yet. But we're hearing now, particularly on that issue, that California's going, hey, wait a minute, this is not good public policy to have businesses keeping multiple sets of books.
That's what I was thinking. That would be a huge motivator to swing into a different.
Yeah, because then if you keep two, why not three? You know, anyway, I mean, it's a bad precedent.
If you have one person on staff, why not have five? Make it a full employment, as the business shuts down. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:42.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The Los Angeles flight is a great success. Did you hear? Starting May 29th, we'll have a second departure to Los Angeles. It makes it even easier to visit sunny SoCal. What's more, we'll have flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a few hours away from the Mile High City or wherever you want to go. This will make connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org.
Hi. KINS News.
Where are the bongos?
It's 8:47.
Bring back the bongos. We want the bongos.
Oh, Bill McCauley is alongside. So you're midway. You've almost made it to halftime.
Yeah.
How's the game looking right now?
Oh, you know, it always looks kind of dark in March because the work comes in faster than it can go out. And so, so it's like the tide comes in and so you keep backing up the beach, and throwing more, and you get the stuff that's in the way of the tide and you throw it behind you, and then we get to April, and the way we structure our business, we ask our clients to get their information in by the end of March. So then in April, we're generally not taking work in, and so then the tide runs the other direction.
Then it's just process.
Yeah, so then it's just we got a couple of weeks to get what's on board,
Do you remember back when it was your first rodeo, your first tax season?
Yes,
I
do.
What your thoughts were about this time? In the first, and everything's still shock and awe.
Yeah, I've definitely developed a different expectation. The other thing too is when you first start, your duties are different, and so it's a different animal. But I've always liked it, and I do like it. I mean, I like 90% of it, and then 10% I hate. But that's a whole other matter.
The intriguing part? I mean, if I'm not a numbers guy. Uh-huh. You're very square cornered. I'm very rounded corners. What is the attraction? I mean, I would be jumping off the pier.
Oh, it's when you're that productive, and work is moving, and you're going from thing to thing, and you just keep moving stuff, and it just I mean, I get a sick pleasure out of doing tax returns. I mean, I definitely, I mean.
So it's like checking a list off.
Maybe I don't love it, but I really like it. Okay. You know, I really like doing them. And I mean, it's one of those things that makes sense to me. I like how it does. You know, there's a process to doing it. I like going through the process. And what I really like this time of year is I see a lot of, I get to see a lot of people. So I get a half hour or whatever, or 40 minutes with people I don't see that often. And that I enjoy that too. So
the feeling of accomplishment, I would think, would be in there. Is there a genetic predisposition? Not weakness. You notice see, I did not use that word.
So you're saying a genetic defect?
I'm saying there's a mutant factor for sales guys and radio guys, and I got to believe that you know, not everybody is suited to be.
Sure. And I think that's you know, probably obviously the case. That we're all different. We all function differently. And that's really good because, you know, there's certain jobs that I look at people and I think, I don't know how they possibly can do that job. And yet they look at what I do and they go, how does he do that? And, you know, anyway, so it's nice we're different because there are jobs that are different and require different personalities.
Hopefully you're able to identify that early on when you're doing the recruiting or people are opting for career paths.
Yeah, we try. We try. Yeah. But sometimes you really got to get in there to try it and find out.
Kind of like cooking. But nobody dies. Thanks, bud.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.